destroy the fortresses in our thinking. And so quite frequently, I'm after mindsets with the scripture in the hope that the Holy Spirit will break through. But at times, I feel like I'm trying to chip a block of ice with a plastic spoon. Because when people embrace a particular mindset and are unwilling to change, it's very, very difficult to move them forward in the Lord. So I want to spend a few minutes on this issue of avoiding the presence of God. Okay, because an encounter service, by our intentionality, is to welcome God the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, if you believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they consider themselves to be one in three expressions of personality. And the Holy Spirit is now the resident Lord of the church. It is his job in the earth to reveal Jesus and the mind of the Father for his intentionality through us. So I want to go back to the beginning and cherry-pick some things and string them together to try to help us think more clearly. For instance, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, we find that Adam is hiding, and this is what he said. I heard the sound of you. I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. One of the things that causes fear in the unredeemed is the unknown. Now, Adam is referring to something that is known, the presence of his father. Only now, because of his sin, he has lost his spiritual identity, and his natural identity is hiding from the presence of God. Do you see it? Okay. So one of the things that people do is they hide from the presence of God because of the sound of him coming. All right. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is recounting what took place at Mount Horeb after they'd come out of captivity in Egypt. Remember, he said to Pharaoh, I am to lead them to this mountain to worship God. So they get there. After the fact, Moses is recounting what took place there. He said, the Lord made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire while I was standing between the Lord and you at the time to declare to you the word of the Lord because you were afraid. What were they afraid of? The presence of the Lord and the things that they heard and the things that they saw. Because of the fire, you did not go up to the mountain. Now, back where it occurred, we have the record in Exodus chapter 19. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightnings and flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound so that the people who were in the camp trembled. At what? At the presence of God. Okay? And so Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. He brought them out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now remember, they're already trembling because now they are encountering something so other they can't process it. But keep in mind, these are the very people who were led through the Red Sea. They saw the plagues. They knew the kind of God that they were dealing with. And in Exodus 20, verse 18, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning and the flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when they saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. And they said to Moses, now listen to this. They're now hiding behind Moses the way Adam hid in the bushes. They said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen. But do not let God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said, don't be afraid. Of what? The presence of God. Don't be afraid of the presence, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. Now, keep in mind, in the English Bible, we often have the word fear, 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 but it's not always the same root word. This is that you might have the reverence of the God, as opposed to cringing in terror from the God, which they were doing earlier. Now, do you get the fact that they're afraid of his presence? Okay. What took place then when they hid behind Moses and said, you go talk to him and come tell us what he said and we'll do what you say he said? I submit to you that is the origin of religion, where somebody else goes to talk to God and come tell you what God said. And the people say, okay, we'll do what you said he said, but they don't, because they don't have a personal relationship with him and they will not engage his presence. When you refuse to engage the presence of the Holy Spirit, you crystallize in that place. And there is no forward. I don't care how many verses of scripture you memorize, how much theology you study, how many degrees you get. If you refuse to interact with God, the Holy Spirit, you're calcified. There is no hope for you. All you have is knowledge. All knowledge does is puff up. He is the teacher, the comforter. He is the one who is to guide and empower. He is the one who gives us the ability to serve the things that are in our heart by God. He empowers us to do those things. Here's the result of their fear. Exodus 19:5. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom. You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and he called the elders of the people, and they said it before them, all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people together said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Y'all read the rest of the book, didn't you? And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. And then Moses told the words to the people. In other words, before they saw and heard, they had already been told they were going to see and hear. For God's intention was to have a holy nation as his testimony in the earth. And Moses refers to this again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He said, you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire, and we have seen today that God speaks with man, and yet the man lives. It's his intention to speak to you, and you shall not surely die when he speaks. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. Whose decision was that? Whose mindset was that? Because they had already seen and heard and not die, but they've got a mindset that refuses to engage his presence. For who is there of all flesh who's heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You see the conundrum here? They're denying that what they just went through is possible, even though they acknowledge they went through it. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken to you, and they've done well in all that they've spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that they may be well with them and with their sons forever. The result was the law. Not a nation of priests, not a holy nation, but a tribe who was responsible for maintaining the jot and tittle of the law to the people. Do you think God changes his mind on our basis of our disobedience? Or is he going to accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish? Think, for instance, when he gave Adam sovereignty over the works of his hands on this planet, his goal, his assignment was to rule and subdue it, to expand the garden to encompass the earth. Is he going to get that done? How's he going to get it done? Because when the last Adam comes, he's going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years, and he is going to subdue it. I suspect it's 1,000 years because it's going to take that long to clean up the mess we've made in this environment. But rather than a nation, God said, then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, and they became the representatives of the Lord. God always is going to accomplish his purpose with or without your cooperation. To Moses, he said, I'll kill them all and I'll start over with you. And Moses said, no, you won't, because I know who you are. You are the Lord God, compassionate and gracious and slow to. He called him on who he knew God to be. And God said, oh, when you got me, you got me. But he made this promise to us in Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. That was the prophetic word that Jesus Christ embraced in Luke chapter 3, hundreds of years before Jesus showed up. This is the promised Messiah, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And notice this, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Jesus did not repeat the day of vengeance. He's still declaring the acceptable year of the Lord. The vengeance of the Lord has not come yet. So we're still in this grace-empowered era. Now, if we say that Jesus is our model, what are we talking about? We're saying that we should be able to emulate him and follow him and become like him, because that is the absolute goal of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to conform us to his image. Jesus comes up out of the baptismal waters in Matthew chapter 3, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and lighting on him. And the Lord God, his Father, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. There's a film out now about Jesus as a child discovering his miraculous gifts. Forget that. He was not empowered for service until the Holy Spirit came upon him. And from that point forward, he begins to fulfill his destiny. You cannot fulfill your destiny apart from the person of the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who is designed to illuminate your understanding, empower you for service, and give you the courage to obey. As he was preparing to leave, Jesus made this promise to each of us. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you with the Spirit of the Father. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I've said to you. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. God said in Exodus 19, you will be my own possession among all the peoples of all the earth, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And in 1 Peter, we're admonished, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, not just a holy nation, not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. How do you get to be royalty? By birth into the king's household. So we are not only priests, we are kings and priests, and we are equipped to rule within the sphere to which God deploys us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. There is a correlation between the way he lived, what he did, what he taught, that should be our possession. But until we change our mindsets and stop being afraid of his manifestations, we will continue to be calcified where we were. Don't camp. Don't be satisfied. Never give up. Keep pressing in. You have no idea what the Lord has in store for you. Don't be religious. Be relational. Know him personally. Pursue his grace. Ask him to reveal himself to you. That's his desire. He wants you to know him intimately. He wants you to identify with the purpose for which he crafted you in the womb. He knew you in his mind before you ever were. You're people of destiny. Don't forfeit that for fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. At issue is the issue of love. Do you trust him with you? Is he trustworthy for you? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're going to give God an opportunity to deliver some of us from fear. There are two prophetic words that came up in our pre-service prayer. We're going to share right now and let you have the opportunity to respond if you perceive this word is for you.
As we were praying this morning, the Lord, well, actually, we got a text yesterday encouraging us to ask the Lord to give us specific words. And so that was what I was praying. The Lord gave me two words last night, ears and eyes. Okay, Lord, that's great. What else? And I didn't receive anything else until we were upstairs praying this morning. And I don't know a lot about biology, physiology, but what I heard was that there is, and it may be someone here or someone that you know, that there is a problem. There's an inner ear problem with there are three little bones behind the eardrum. And I don't know specifically what it is, but it certainly affects your hearing. It affects your hearing. And the Lord wants to deal with that. He wants to love on you and be gracious to you. And we will, if you're here, we definitely will pray for you. And then the other with the eyes, it has to do with the in the eye, it has to do with color perception. And I don't know if there is there's someone who is colorblind. Or there's some other thing that is affecting your vision because of the color perception. But again, the Lord wants to deal with that. He wants to touch you.
So yesterday, I only got the words, the stars in the sky. What does that have to do with anything here, Lord? And as I kept praying about that, the Lord gave me more understanding, and I sense that there's someone who is just struggling, overwhelmed with so many things, like the number of stars in the sky. There's just so many, and you just try to grab a hold of it and get a handle on something, but there's just more and more and more, and you can't get everything lined up. You can't get things in order. It's just not the way you want to live your life. And as I prayed about this, the Lord was saying, the real picture here is that he created all the stars in the sky. He put them in order. He's got his eye on each one of them. He named them. He has got it in his hands. The number of stars in the sky is the number of possibilities that he has for you in whatever situation you're feeling overwhelmed with, because he's not overwhelmed. He's got it. He knows everyone by name. Everyone that is in relationship, that is driving you frantic, or whatever it is, he has it under control.
One more thing. I want you to share the testimony of a woman you played with. Maybe.
Oh, not my cousin. When I was in Sweden, Spence and I had the opportunity to pray for one of my cousins at her request. And, you know, we just laid hands on her and prayed for her probably for about 20 minutes. And what we just do as an everyday thing around here was so amazing to her, so overwhelming to her. And she was crying because we had said things that nobody would have known except the Lord. She was able to release things, you could tell, and she said later, you know, when I was breathing, I was just like letting things out. And we are really a peculiar people, as Lanny said this morning, but there is such a power in who we are because we carry that with us.
Now, I asked them to share those stories for a particular reason. Yes, it is on. This one's not on? The green light is on, and I plugged it in. Yeah, it wasn't plugged in before. It was just dangling there. How did Jesus get anything done without electronics? I just don't get it. Now, these ladies have presented themselves to the Lord and said, we're willing to be spokespersons on your behalf if you choose to speak through us. They've also gone through the training necessary to become more refined in their ability to hear. And we also give them plenty of opportunity to experiment. See, even if they mess this up, it's okay, because it's on me, not them. I'm the one that authorized them to speak. And if they misspeak, that's on me, not them, because they're still learning. But they were at least willing to say, okay, God, I'm available to you as your instrument if you choose to use me. And if you do, then let me hear your voice. So let's sample something. Is there anybody here with an inner ear issue? One, two, three. Okay. That's three people that just heard from heaven, I've got something for you. Do you think God would issue a word like that and not act upon it if someone was responding to it? If you think that, you don't know who your father is. Anybody here feeling overwhelmed with all the stuff that seems to be pressing upon you? One and two and three and four and five and six and seven and eight and nine and ten. Do you think that they might be encouraged if we prayed with them, given that specific word they're responding to? Wouldn't it be nice if they went out of here differently than they arrived this morning? Now, anybody here having difficulty with your eyes? Great, we're all 20/20. That's excellent. I'm glad to know that. Remind me, Jed, next week I'm going to preach on liars. Anybody here having difficulty with color perception? One of two things. Either you're not responding or we missed it. And if we missed it, it's okay because we tried. And if you're not responding, you be sure to see her and apologize later. Now, here's the big one. How many of you are actually afraid of engaging the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit? Really? Okay, two of you, three of you, thank you. Four of you, good. Five, okay. Oh, give me six, I'm in a minute. What we're going to do is we're going to return to worship. And I'm asking you to be intentional in relating personally and directly to God, the Holy Spirit, your mentor and trainer. And if you perceive something, you hear or you see, come to Peggy and say, I'm not sure what this means. All I get is eyeballs and earlobes. And she'll show you what to do. But give yourself the opportunity to be trained in these next few minutes. You may stand now. Those of you who need prayer, these ladies are up here to pray with you. By the way, there was a piece of good news I forgot to give you this morning. I learned just yesterday, or maybe day before yesterday, that Charlena Salvation has just received her RN certification in the state of Maryland. Take it away.
That will ever comfort, nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen a sweetest. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost in this.
Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? I think you are my dearest friend. Lord, this is my desire. Pour my love on you.
Like oil upon your feet. Like
wine for you to drink.
Like
water from has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way? Should the passion in my heart, can I express? I'm truly great, I think you are.
are times as we pursue the Lord that we feel like we just can't get to where we want to be. And sometimes it just simply takes taking a step from where we are towards Him. So I want to invite you. There's lots of room up around the altar up here. If you don't want to be prayed for, that's fine. But if you want to pursue the Lord, if you want to see what happens just by taking a step, I want to invite you to come up here as we sing this next song.
Seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Sing that again.
The more I see.
lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.
We can pray over those of you who have been fearful of the presence of God. That root of fear is a lashing at security to the past and denies you your future in the Lord. Fear does not come from the Father. There's not any fear in heaven. So it's not coming from there. But it is the instrument of darkness, and it's designed specifically to keep your mouth shut and your feet immobile.
And I made her walk all the way up here to do this. Like this voice won't carry. I'm going to attempt to lead us all in a prayer. So bear with me as I ask you to repeat these things. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, and he has ascended on high to the right hand of the Father, that through his blood, I am reconciled to the Father. I am a child of God Most High. I welcome his Spirit to indwell me. I welcome my destiny in Christ to be fulfilled. And I rebuke all the powers of darkness that torment me and separate me from God's purposes through me. The name of Jesus destroys the authority that establishes disorder. Fear is a disorder. And I command you in Jesus' name, release me. Father, I seal this over your people today and want to hear the testimony of your divine intervention in them, the new boldness and courage that love can create when it casts out fear. I ask for an ongoing revelation of who you are to each one of us and what we are to be together for you in expressing your to the nations. I seal this today with thanksgiving for all you've done and that which you shall yet do. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who wish to linger at the altar or come for prayer, we'll be working here with you for a few more minutes. Though our first-time guests, we invite you to the hospitality room that's on the left as you would exit the front door. Those of you who are sitting with me in the orientation class, we'll pick that up in about 10 minutes. You're dismissed.
With the melody, you surround me with the song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance.
That's all. Yeah. Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide, and I will lift my voice to worship you, my King, and I will find my strength in the shadow. Stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Yes, your justice flows like the ocean's tides. And I will lift my heart. To the skies.
At the Inova Shar Cancer Institute, we do more than just treat cancer. We offer leading-edge treatments, clinical trials, and holistic services that help patients focus on healing. For the best in cancer care, the new Inova Shar Cancer Institute is right here in the DC metro area. Cancer, care, we do both. Learn more at inova.org/cancer. Inova Shar Cancer Institute is a department of Inova Fairfax Hospital.